God is so good. And we have to remember that. And I had the hymns this morning fit my message about as good as you could ever do. And that's just God putting it together. I had no idea what the hymns were going to be this morning. And I don't think the people that pick out the hymns knew exactly what I was going to be talking about this morning. But it's our great God that puts this together. And I want you to think about these hymns as we talk through this message this morning on the wheel illustration. Because this is our part. The victory has been won in Christ. He is our friend. We need to carry everything to Him in prayer. We need to give Him our load that we can't carry sometimes. But Scripture has given us a way to do that. And the wheel illustration is a very basic thing. And I know a lot of you have seen it before. But I guess I was struggling a little while back. Knew I needed to do something. And so I said, well, let's go back to the basics. What? And this, so I dug out my old 2-7 book. And this was before I knew I was going to be asked to preach. And I went through the wheel illustration. And it was a help. Sometimes we just need to get back to the basics. Do the things we know we need to do. The things that Scripture tells us we need to do. So I have a couple suggestions. This was in your bulletin, I hope, this morning. It's just the simple wheel illustration. But I would encourage you to put that somewhere you're going to see it once in a while, just to get you back to the basics. Or if you put it up where you know where it's at, so you can go back and look at it when you're struggling, when things aren't going the way you would like them to, when you're struggling with different aspects of your Christian life. If you think about the wheel, just in general, we kind of take wheels for granted, don't we? But would you like to live in a world without wheels? As farmers, could you operate in a world if there were no wheels? It would be a drastically different world, wouldn't it? Very drastically. And it's such a simple thing. Well, that's the way it is in our Christian life too sometimes. We just need to go back to the basics. But one thing I want you to notice, if you look at this wheel, but if you take the rim, the obedient Christian in action, and you take that out of there, what do you have left? You have a cross with Jesus Christ on it. How more much basic can you get? But that's where we start, isn't it? We start. None of this that I'm going to talk about today is possible without what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. He paid for our sins. He took what I deserved, what you deserved, what God was going to give us. And He took it for us. He took the shame. He took the pain. He took the torture. He took the death so that I would never have to do that. Anyone that trusts in Him would never have to do that. And that's what we got to remember. It's all because of what Christ did on the cross. His sacrifice, His love for us. It caused Him to do that, be willing to do that. So let's look at these different dimensions. I'm not going to go by this word for word, but you can follow along with it, and you take it and put it somewhere you'll see it once in a while. I think it will be an encouragement and a help when you need it. All right, the wheel. This illustration is a helpful way to remember the basic truths about the Spirit-filled life. It is a Christ-centered life. The Holy Spirit focuses your attention on Christ and empowers you to live a life of obedience to Him. God's word and prayer build you up in a relationship with Christ so He can live through you and reach others through fellowship and witnessing. Without drawing attention to Himself, the Holy Spirit shapes each activity into an avenue of spiritual blessing. As you can see, there are six parts: Christ the center, the obedient Christian, the word, prayer, fellowship, and witnessing. And what we're talking about is a balanced Christian life. Now, are any of us going to do this perfectly? No. But hopefully we can learn to do it more consistently and better as we go along. And as we see the benefits of doing this, just like those hymns, being able to take our burdens to Christ, have Him as our best friend. What better friend could we ever have in all the world than Jesus Christ? Who could ever prove to us their friendship and love more than Christ, what He's done on the cross for us? The wheel has been used as an illustration for Christian life for more than 50 years. It illustrates the functions necessary to produce life of obedience and faithfulness, which are important if I'm to practice spirituality, if I'm to walk in the Spirit efficiently. The Word is the basic spoke upon which the wheel is resting. The Word makes the difference between mediocrity and a productive Christian life. It is as basic as eating is to our physical life. Let me say that again. If we don't intake God's Word, we're starving spiritually. So how many days do we go through the day starving spiritually because we don't spend some time in God's Word? Prayer is the second vertical spoke. It is the means of communication with the Father, that which together with the Word makes our fellowship with Him complete. Prayer for the Christian is as basic as breathing is to our physical life, and it should be just as natural. Do you pray as much as you breathe? No, I don't either. But we can all do better. Why would we not want to be in fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Why would we want to neglect that? After what He's done for us, He did it so that we could be in fellowship with Him. That's what He desires. He's the one that made the first move. Now it's up to us. What are we going to do? Are we going to build that fellowship with Him? Do we have a great desire to fellowship with our Lord? He desires that from us. He wants that. How much do we want that? Fellowship is a third spoke and the first horizontal spoke considered. Fellowship is restorative. It is refreshing to get together with other believers. Hebrews 10:25 says, I'm not to give up meeting together with other believers. Fellowship is as basic to my Christian life as sleep is to my physical life. How do we get restored physically? We go to bed. We're tired. We've had a busy, hard day. And we get up restored. That's what this fellowship should do for us. That's what coming to church this Sunday morning should do for us. It should restore us. It should build us back up, ready to go out for the next week, the next day, and do what Christ has for us to do. Witnessing is the final spoke. The one that is horizontal. It is one of the ways we share the gospel and ourselves with others. Witnessing is as basic to the Christian as exercise is to our physical life. Without it, we will become listless and very self-centered. So how much are we exercising spiritually? Something to think about. The wheel illustration of the life of obedience for the Christian, it is endless, and it illustrates the dynamics of the life. Christ is the hub, the center. The weight of the wheel is borne by the hub. The driving power comes from the hub. The spokes are the instruments through which the driving power is conveyed from the hub to the outer rim, to us. Only with spokes properly balanced can one be an obedient Christian in action, experiencing spirituality and the abundant life that God has planned for us. A wheel is a circle, isn't it? It's an endless line. Our life in Jesus is eternal and endless, isn't it? When a wheel is moving, the spokes fade away and only the hub is seen. Do people see our spokes, our activities, or do they see Christ? We want them to see Christ. We don't want them to see us, what we're doing. We want them to see Christ in us. That's our witness, isn't it? We just want people to have what we have, the great blessing, the great peace, the great future, the great hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And there's a world out there that needs it, folks, a world. And it's getting worse, not better. Okay, well, let's look at each of these dimensions. Let's look at the volitional dimension. Let's look at the hub, Christ the center. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to some of these or you can listen to me read them, but I want to read these scriptures because I think they're important. 2 Corinthians 5, 15, verses 15 and 17. 2 Corinthians 5. Verses 15 and 17. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What a blessing we have in Christ. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we're never the same again, are we? We're a new creature. Christ comes to live in us through the Holy Spirit. How can we ever be the same person if God is actually dwelling in us? We can't be. We just can't be. Over in Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. I should be able to just quote that to you, but I get a little too nervous up here and I'd probably mess it up, so I'll just read it. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. And you, anyone that will trust and believe in him. The act of making Christ central in your life, that is, giving him the place of true lordship in your life, is really an act of your will, isn't it? There should be a time in each of our lives when we are willing to surrender totally to Christ's authority and lordship. This may be at conversion, or it may be years later. It is true that lordship is a volitional matter. It's a matter of our choice, our will, isn't it? God doesn't force us, does he? He gives us a choice. But as you pray and as others pray for you, God creates within you the desire to do what he wants you to do, in order to express his lordship in your life. You want to flip over to Philippians 2:13. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. But we have to allow him to work. He's willing to do that. He will do that. But he won't force us. We have to be willing. Well, why would you place Christ at the hub of your wheel of life? Would that be a wise thing to do? Yeah, I think so. What else could you ever put at the how? What does a hub do for the wheel? I have three things here. The hub gives the wheel power. The hub gives the wheel direction. And the hub carries the load of the wheel that the wheel could not carry by itself, could it? Power comes through the hub to the wheel. And it comes to the wheel through the spokes to the rim. I submit to you that there's nothing in all of God's creation that would be better to power our wheel of life than Jesus Christ. He is God. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is sovereign. What in the world could we ever place at the center of our life, at the hub of our wheel of life, that would be better than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? There isn't anything, folks. And what a privilege we have that we can do that. We can have that. We can have that kind of power in our lives through him. Direction comes from the hub. Again, I submit to you, who could ever direct our wheel of life better than Jesus Christ? The all-knowing one, the all-powerful one, the one that created everything that is, the one that holds everything together. Why would we want direction from anywhere else? It would be kind of foolish. And worst of all, do I think I can direct my life better than Christ can? I would be a fool to think that. But I could direct my life better than God can. Okay, how about the load? The hub takes most of the load of our wheel of life. I don't know about you. That old load in life gets a little heavy some days. Some days I don't know what to do with it. Some days you just want to give up. But then I remember, I have someone I can take that load to that will help me, that will bear me up, will carry me if need be through this life. What a comfort that is, folks. What a comfort that I have a place that I can unload. I have one that I can unload those burdens that I can't handle on. And it's Jesus Christ. What a blessing. What a blessing. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew 11. This is Christ speaking here, folks. This is him speaking to you and me today, this morning. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my load is light. You want a light load, folks? There's the secret. Give it to your Lord and Savior. He can carry it. No problem. Well, let's look at the other volitional dimension in relationship to our will, the rim, the obedience to Christ. The two verses there are Romans 12, 1 and John 14, 21. So let's look at those. Romans 12, 1. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. In John 14, 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. When you're an obedient Christian and actively following God's leading, it shows in your outward life, doesn't it? It shows in our life. People can see the evidences of our faith. Some acts of obedience to God are more internal. They have to do with attitudes, habits, motives, sense of values, and day-to-day thoughts. These internal acts of obedience eventually surface, don't they? And they surface in our relationships with other peoples, don't they? Probably on a daily basis for most of us. The proof of our love for God is our demonstrated obedience to Jesus Christ. Let me read that again. The proof of our love for God is our demonstrated obedience to Jesus Christ. And as I was going through this, I noticed in my Bible that I don't remember when I did it, but on John 14, 21, I wrote this out to the side of the verse. Obedience brings God's guidance. How many times do we want God's guidance? How many times do we ask God for his guidance? We need to ask ourselves, are we being obedient so God can guide us? Obedience brings God's guidance. We need to remember that, especially when we're seeking God's guidance. We need to look through our life. Are we being obedient? So he can bring his guidance to us. Why is the Christian the rim? That's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? That's where you hit the rocks, the potholes, the problems. Jesus Christ uses obedient Christians to do his work in this world. That's why we're the rim. That's how he's chosen to do it. He's chosen to allow you and I to be a part of his great commission, of his great work of redeeming souls, bringing lost men to him for eternity. Is there a greater work that we could ever be involved in? Is there a greater worth in life that we could be than to see people have what we have in Jesus Christ? What are you going to take to eternity with you? Two things: God's word and people. Let's look at that in 1 Peter 1, verses 14 through 16. 1 Peter 1. If I get there. 1 Peter 1, 14 through 16. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Now we all know we're not holy. But do you realize we are going to be holy? We are going to be like Jesus Christ. He is going to make us holy. If he did not do that, we couldn't be in God's holy heaven with a holy God for eternity, could we? But maybe we ought to try to practice it a little more so it's not quite a shock when we get there. We need to follow our Lord and Savior. Become more and more like him all the way through our life. It's a marathon, folks. It's not a sprint. It's going to take every year of our life, every year that God gives us. But we ought to be getting more and more like our Lord. He's going to make us like him. What a promise. All right, the four spokes, the word, prayer, witnessing, and fellowship, are our only means to transfer the power and direction of Jesus Christ to the rim of our wheel. This is what God has designed for us, so that we can transfer the power and direction of Jesus Christ to our life, to our rim that meets the world, the rubber that meets the road. They are also the only means to transfer the burdens and the loads of our lives back to Christ through prayer. It goes both ways. We get our power and our direction. We can also unload those heavy loads that we can't handle back to our Lord and Savior. So let's look at that, the vertical dimension relationship to God. The word spoke, the word of God. If you want to go back to Joshua 1:8. Better qualify it. Or someone want to quote that for me? Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. In 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. Second Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You want to be equipped for good works? This is the key. Having these four spokes in balance in your life on a daily basis. The Word of God is the foundational spoke. This spoke is the most critical spoke in a balanced Christian life. As God speaks to us through the Scriptures, we can see His principles for life and ministry, learn how to obey, and see Christ as worthy of our total allegiance. When a Christian has a vital personal intake of the Word of God, he is healthy and growing. Just like you need a healthy diet that you eat every day to be healthy and growing. We need to be in God's Word every day to be spiritually healthy and growing. Let's look at that in 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to your salvation. We can't grow without it, folks. The less of God's Word we get into our lives, the slower our growth is going to be. It's our spiritual food. Let's look at the other relationship, the other vertical dimension. Our relationship to God, the prayer spoke. The verses for that are in John 15, 7 and Philippians 4, 6 and 7. John 15, 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. And Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer should be a natural overflow of our meaningful time in God's Word. The act of prayer to God completes the fellowship and companionship element in your relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to respond back to God in prayer after He speaks to us through His Word. In this manner, we share our hearts with the one who longs for our companionship. Prayer is how the power of God is unleashed. Personal battles and battles for others are won in prayer. And the cause of Christ is furthered, isn't it? James 4:2, the end of it says this: you do not have because you do not ask. What are you asking for? What are you asking God for? We know it has to be according to God's will. He's not a genie in a bottle. He's God. What are we asking for? That's our relationship with God. How's your relationship with God today? Is it close, vital? Or does it need some work? Does it need some time? Let me ask you this. If you talk to your spouse, your friends, your children, the same amount of time you spend with God, what kind of a relationship would you have with them? I think that's a good gauge. For us. Do we really want that relationship? God wants it with us. Why wouldn't we want it back with Him? Think about all the unbelievable benefits that we get from that close relationship with God. It's true riches, folks. It's true riches. Okay, well, let's look at the other. We looked at the vertical, our relationship with God. Now let's look at the other, our horizontal, our relationship with other people, with each other. And you'll find those in Matthew 18, 20 and Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. So let's look at Matthew 18, 20. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. These are Jesus' words, folks. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He's with us. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25... And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We're commanded to gather together, to fellowship, to be a part of each other. Christians are neither higher nor lower than any other people, are they? And you've all heard this old saying, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. All Christians have the wonderful privilege of being intimate members of God's family. God has directed Christians to fellowship with other Christians. We are to learn from others and to encourage one another. There is great blessing that takes place as Christians get together to build each other up. This cannot be accomplished if we operate independently or are isolated from other Christians, can it? It takes time. It takes fellowship. It takes working together. I submit to you, we need each other much more than we would like to admit. We need that encouragement. We need to build each other up. We need to encourage us to be doing the things that God has set out for us to do, instructed us to do in His Word. Well, let's look at the last horizontal dimension in our relationship to others, the witnesses spoke. And you'll find those in Matthew 4, 19 and Romans 1, 16. So let's look at Matthew 4, 19. And He said to them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. And again, these are Christ's words, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. So being fishers of men an option? I don't think so. If we're going to follow Christ, we're going to be fishers of men. We're going to want others to have what we have in Christ. In Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We're not to be ashamed of our Savior, are we? Why would we be? When we know what He's done for us, what He's doing for us each day, what He's going to do for us for eternity. Folks, He is our treasure. He is our treasure. He's the greatest treasure that we could ever get a hold of. There's nothing we could gain in this world that would come close to that. Is He your treasure this morning? Is Jesus Christ, do you consider Him your treasure, your greatest possession, your greatest treasure? He is. The natural overflow of a rich, vibrant life in Christ should be sharing with others how they can have this life with Christ. Why would we not want them to have this great life that we have in Christ? All the help that we get, the future, the hope, the eternal hope that we have in Christ. They need it desperately. Our extended times in God's Word and prayer, prompt obedience to God, will give our lives an attractiveness. But it has to be there. We have to be obedient. We have to be in a close relationship with God, and then our life will have an attractiveness which adds credibility to our words. Effective witnessing involves skills which can be learned and sharpened. We ought to be doing that. We ought to be learning how we can more effectively. I mean, isn't that what they're doing in Texas this week? Basically, through a Bible school. There's all kinds of ways we can learn and sharpen our skills. If you want to go to Acts 1:8. Again, these are Christ's words to you and I. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. We're a witness whether we want to be or not, aren't we? Especially if you're going to tell people you're a Christian and you believe in Christ. You can be a good witness or you can be a bad witness. But I hope we want to be a good witness. We want to follow our Savior and be a light to a dark world that desperately needs it. Let's look at the wheel as a whole. Usually either-or thinking is not reliable, is it? Usually life is both and. It is not either fellowship or witnessing. It is not either prayer or intake of God's word. A balanced Christian life is all of these. This balance should be the desire of every Christian. Is that your desire? I can't speak for you. You'll have to do that yourself. Is it your desire to have a balanced Christian life, to have a close, vital relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, every day? Every minute of every day, He's there. How often do we neglect Him? Get caught up in the urgent instead of the eternal. Too often, I'm afraid. So how can we fight that? Well, we can develop our strengths. We can trust God to use them to the fullest extent. And we can also work on our deficiencies, our inadequacies. We can trust the Holy Spirit to continue to renovate us. As I said, it's a marathon, folks. It's not a sprint. God is still working with us throughout all of this life, isn't He? He continues to renovate us. But hopefully we're getting a little better and a little better and a little closer. We're following God a little closer each day. Over the years, you should be continually strengthening of your spiritual life in all of these areas that we've mentioned. In the Word, in prayer, in fellowshipping with other believers, and in witnessing, being a witness to the lost world around us. What greater activities could we ever be involved in? They are eternal. They have eternal value, don't they? Well, I've got a few questions for you this morning, for myself. These aren't just for you. I wrote these for me. But I'm going to allow you to think about them too. What or who is the real hub of your life? What or who is at the center of your life? What are you living for? I think we need to stop and think about that once in a while. Look at our lives. It might give us a clue. What's really at the hub, the center of our life? We know what it ought to be. Who deserves that place is Jesus Christ. And how much better off we're going to be when we have His power, His direction, and He takes the load. And we don't have to. Are you the obedient Christian in action that God wants you to be? Good question. Again, what are we doing with our lives? Are we being obedient? Are we doing what God's directing us to do? What He wants us to do? Again, I can't answer that for you. You're going to have to work that one out with God, with Christ. How's your relationship with Jesus Christ? Is it close and vital through the intake of God's word and prayer daily? or does it get a little lax? Do I let the urgent things in life crowd out the eternal? How's your relationship with other people? Are you in regular fellowship with other believers to encourage and build one another up? We need it, folks. We need it. We need that fellowship. We need that encouragement, especially in the world that's getting to be today. Is your daily life and words a witness to the lost world around you? Do they see Jesus Christ in you? Do they see him in me? What do people see when they look at our lives, when they look at the way we treat them, the way that we react to the loads and the problems of life? Some things to think about. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you for being willing to be the center of our lives through the cross, through the shame, through the pain, the agony, the horrible death, your victorious resurrection, your victory over death, so that you can give that to us. Help us to follow and to serve you, to be the obedient Christian, to be in your word, to be in communion with you through prayer. Lord, what a blessing. Help us to be in fellowship with one another. Help us to be a witness so that when people see our wheel of life, they see you living through us. They see your power in our life through these spokes, Lord. Help us to be obedient Christians, to be a light and a testimony that this dark world desperately needs. So I pray that you would go with each of us this week. We would think about these things. We would see where we need to work in our individual lives. And we would be willing to do that through your power, through your spirit, through your strength and your help. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. You are dismissed.